This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you to use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Tuesday, August 7th, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news as usual. Rapid Ray has the sports, and Harriet is in with the community reaction to today's tragic news. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by J.J. Nagard Nursery, with fruit trees and plants. J.J. Nagard Nursery at the tip of Bark Point near Herbster. Good evening, Lou.
It's a somber evening, Jack, and good listeners. Dick Bong, local farm boy, turned international hero as the aerial ace of aces, has died in a flaming jet plane crash in California. We begin our report from California.
This is Burbank, California. Stan Turner here. Major Richard Ira Bong, the popular Wisconsin farm boy who became America's aerial ace of aces, lay dead today. He's the victim of a jet P-80 shooting star explosion. Bong had downed 40 Japanese planes while emerging unscathed from more than 500 combat missions in the Pacific, only to lose his life 4 minutes after taking off on a test flight yesterday afternoon. The explosion scattered part of the P-80 jet over an acre. The 24-year-old pilot left Lockheed Test Terminal, tried to jump clear of the disintegrating ship, but flames caught him. His body was found 100 feet from the flaming jet turbine, his parachute partially opened. The wiry, pug-nosed pilot, who had been testing P-80 shooting star jets for the Army Technical Service Command since July 9th, knew he was in trouble as soon as the plane took off. Major Bong radioed the control tower. Suddenly, a puff of black smoke belched from the world's fastest plane as Bong leveled off in flight. United Press reports that he struggled to free his heavy clothing through the P-80's narrow escape hatch. He almost bailed out when the aircraft exploded. Lockheed service mechanic Frank Bodenhammer reported the right wing tipped. The pilot's escape hatch came off, and the plane nosed straight down. He saw a column of smoke that went about 400 feet into the air. Witnesses reported seeing the jet explode with a terrific roar which shook the vicinity. Most of the plane and Bong's body landed in a vacant lot, missing nearby homes. This was the end, then, for the farm boy who had earned 26 decorations, including the Congressional Medal of Honor and a High Gallantry Award from the King of England, King George. In addition to his 40 kills, Major Bong had 9 probable kills in 2 years of combat from December 1942 until December of 1944 over New Guinea and the Philippines. He joined the Air Force in May 1941 after attending Superior, Wisconsin State Teachers College. That's where he met his future wife, Marjorie Ann Vattendall, while on leave in 1943. He received his second lieutenant bars at Luke Field, Arizona in January 1942. He was sent to the Pacific that fall. His baptism of fire came on December 27, 1942, when he knocked down a Zero and a dive bomber over Buna. Flying a P-38, he later named Marge, the former choir boy surpassed Eddie Rickenbacker's World War One record of 26 enemy aircraft shot down in combat. Then he kept right on. The Medal of Honor was presented to Major Bong on Leyte Island by General Douglas MacArthur on December 7th, 1944. Before he went home for Christmas, he bagged 2 more, the last on December 17th. Major Bong and Marge Vattendall were married in Superior on February 10th, less than 6 months ago. They honeymooned in Hollywood, where they settled down as the Major accepted his new assignment with Lockheed. Monday night, his wife said he thought the P-80 shooting star was a great ship. At dinner Sunday night with friends, he was asked about testing the P-80. He shrugged with a smile and said, "I don't worry about those things." Mrs. Bong says he had no premonition of his death. quoting her, "He was going to take me to a movie when he got home," unquote. Today, Mrs. Bong is preparing to accompany her hero husband on his final flight. An Army transport will bear the body to Superior, where his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Carl Bong, and two of his brothers and four sisters await his return. In Burbank, California, this is Stan Turner reporting. Calling Hollywood. Come in, Patty Murray.
This is Hollywood, California. Patty Murray here. The 21-year-old widow of Ace of Aces, Major Richard Bong, packed away an unfinished portrait of herself, which her husband had been painting. She was giving the nation's ace pilot a lesson in art. Mrs. Bong was an art student at Superior State Teachers College in Superior, Wisconsin. She induced him to take up oil painting. The portrait is complete, except for her hair. Mrs. Bong said Army authorities did not notify her of her husband's death yesterday while testing a P-80 Shooting Star Lockheed jet. She was sunbathing on the roof of their apartment building. Then Mrs. Bong says she came down from the roof to turn on the radio to check the time. That's when she heard the news. Quoting Mrs. Bong, "When he left the house, he was full of happiness about taking one of the new ships up. He loved to fly them and thought them to be the most wonderful planes in the world," unquote. She had started a biography of the Major and now hopes to finish it soon. Quoting her again, "He was a wonderful man and a wonderful husband." Mrs. Bong will accompany the body of her husband on a special air transport to Superior, Wisconsin for tomorrow's funeral. In Hollywood, this is Patty Murray.
Now we go to our local reporters for more on this tragedy. We begin with Ralph Mason, who spent yesterday and today in Poplar.
One topic was on the lips of everyone in the hometown of Major Richard Bong of Poplar today. The 462 inhabitants of this northern Wisconsin crossroads town had to reluctantly accept confirmation of his death. Boyhood friend and owner of Poplar hardware store Marvin Peterson clung for hours to the despairing hope that there was some mistake. Not until the Bong family had received verification from Marjorie Bong would Peterson believe it. Quoting him, "We thought there might have been some mistake when Marge hadn't been given official notification of Dick's death," unquote. Major Bong's four sisters, two brothers, and Mr. and Mrs. Carl Bong waited in seclusion at the family farm on the outskirts of Poplar for news about their famous son. They depended on sympathetic neighbors since they don't have a telephone. A fifth sister, Nelda, is employed in the Washington office of Congressman Alvin Okonski. The Major's wife, the former Marjorie Vattendahl, informed the Bong family and her own family, who live in Superior, that she expected to fly home with the Major's body in an Army transport, accompanied by an Army nurse. Major Bong's parents were in Superior when they heard the news on the radio. They hurried to the home of Sig Vattendahl, the father of Marjorie. There, the family, just sitting down to supper, also heard the broadcast. They tried to telephone their daughter in Hollywood and were dismayed by the lack of official confirmation. Finally, this morning, Chief of the Army Air Force, General H.H. Arnold, called Major Bong's mother from Washington. General Arnold asked Mother Bong about funeral arrangements, which haven't been set yet. Meanwhile, scores of family friends and neighbors visited the Bong family farm to give their sympathies. Many brought food and flowers. Now we turn the microphone over to newsman Mike Simonson.
Thanks, Ralph. The veterans of foreign wars, the American Legion, the City of Superior, and the Association of Commerce began plans to pay tribute to Major Richard Ira Bong. The Henry S. Blomberg VFW post, of which Major Bong had been a member since going overseas in 1942, sent a group of men to the Bong home. There they offered their sympathies to Mother Dora and Father Carl Bong, who's also a member of the Blomberg Post. Post Commander James Dickinson expressed grief and shock. He says the Post will do what it can to honor the dead hero, making Major Bong's death doubly tragic. Reliable sources tell us that he was close to getting his honorable discharge from the Army. As a winner of the Congressional Medal of Honor, he was eligible for discharge. He had apparently planned to take an important job with Douglas Aircraft in Santa Monica, California.
Thanks, Mike. We'll have the rest of the war news after this message from our sponsor, by Jack McKenna.
The news crew is certainly doing a fine job, old buddy. I know this is hard on everyone. It's hard on J.J. Nagard Nursery, too, at the tip of Bark Point in Herbstreet. They don't want to be known for a pushy commercial this time. But let's see what they've got down there. Fruit trees and small fruit plants. Latham raspberries, disease-free, I might add. $10 per 100. Order early and the supply is limited, of course. That's J.J. in the Garden Nursery, tip of Bark Point, Herbster, Wisconsin.
Tokyo is believed to be next on the atom bomb list, and our Vatican weighs in on the use of the A-bomb. We begin our radio roundup with John Hightower in Washington.
This is the nation's capital. Hightower here. Tokyo, or one of Japan's other great industrial cities, is believed here to be next on the list for atomic bomb destruction. This is the view of officials trying to evaluate the possible effects of the terrifying new weapon. The effects include ending the Pacific War immediately and the long-term possibilities of this bomb for the world tomorrow. From what has been announced by President Truman, it is clear that the old ideas of national defense are due to undergo radical changes. One of the most common comments in Washington today, after yesterday's release of the bomb, is that it greatly increases the responsibility of governments to work together for world peace. The newly harnessed energy is still years away from peaceful uses, but it may revolutionize industry. Evidently, with this in mind, Mr. Truman announced that atomic power in this country will be kept under strict control. After dropping the first atomic bomb on the Japanese Army base at Hiroshima, this may only be the beginning of large-scale annihilation of the enemy. Pending full reconnaissance reports, it is believed here that Hiroshima, with a pre-war population of 318,000 people, was largely, if not completely, wiped out. American propaganda broadcasts are bombarding the Japanese people with reports of this mighty new weapon. The Japanese have no adequate defense against the atomic bomb. They can only surrender or face destruction. The hour is most critical in their national history. Even so, few top officials here expect surrender at once. Mr. Truman says the United States is prepared to go ahead with more bombings. In the nation's capital, this is John Hightower, calling Rome. Come in, Vatican City.
This is Vatican City, Wes Gallagher reporting. The Vatican newspaper is calling the new atomic bomb dropped on Japan, quoting now, a catastrophic conclusion to the war's apocalyptic surprises, unquote. It compared the atomic bomb to the invention of the submarine by 18th century Italian artist Leonardo da Vinci. It expressed the regret that the bomb's inventors did not, like da Vinci, destroy the creation in the interest of humanity. The newspaper said that da Vinci wanted to defeat death with thought. But the road of men who have not Christian charity must defeat death with death. Continuing the quote, this incredibly destructive instrument remains a temptation, if not for horrified contemporaries, then for posterity to whom little is taught by history, unquote. Vatican spokesman Monsignor Enrico Puocci says this death instrument has left a deep impression on the Pope, not so much for the death it has already caused, as for the sinister shadow that the discovery of this weapon casts on the future of humanity, unquote. At Vatican City, this is Wes Gallagher.
Democratic Senator Ed Johnson of Colorado said today that Secretary of War Henry Stimson would turn white and swoon if he realized how much support he has in his campaign to dramatically reduce the size of the nation's fighting forces. Senator Johnson says that he's gotten the backing of discontented, disgruntled servicemen who are not adverse to fighting but resent being kept idle. First Lieutenant Wallace Ringham of Ashland is missing in action. The 25-year-old lieutenant is a B-29 pilot and has been missing in action since a mission to Japan July the 20th. Lieutenant Ringham enlisted in 1942 and recently visited his parents in Ashland while on furlough. The War Department list of casualties today includes a superior man, PFC Ido Braff, son of Mr. and Mrs. Winnie Braff of Oaks Avenue, was wounded in the Pacific. Also on the wounded list from Upper Wisconsin are Marine Corps PFC Richard Jobbett, and his wife Laura lives in Superior. Marine Private First Class Porter Baldridge, husband of Mrs. Bernice Baldridge of Stone Lake, and Marine Corps Private Donald Fury of Glidden. The enormity of the project to build the atom bomb is reflected in its links to northern Wisconsin. Several men from the Washburn area which had its own TNT facility at nearby Barksdale, worked on parts of the atom bomb. Robert Olson and Don Knaip were part of the research for the weapon at the Oak Ridge and Hanford Works. The manager of the Hanford Engineering Plant is the former powder superintendent at the DuPont Dynamite Works in Barksdale, Mr. Walter Simon. The late Ole Warden was manager of construction at the huge Hanford facility before he passed away. And Francis Chambers, formerly of Washburn, was also involved in research. He'd been an official at the DuPont plant. And that's not all, Jack and good listeners. U.S. Employment Service Director in Superior, J.P. Budzinski, says that 193 workers from the Ashland and Superior area were involved in the construction or other kinds of work for the A-bomb.
Let's hope that puts an end to this war, Lou. It sounds like pretty scary stuff.
Things we don't understand can be frightening.
Well, not in this cowboy's case. It's when I understand something like this atom bomb, that's when I get scared. Thanks, newsman Lou Martin. He'll be back with more on our show, but let's check the forecast for this somber Tuesday evening, August 7th, 1945. It'll be a little warmer tomorrow, and fittingly for Major Bong's funeral, it'll also be cloudy. The low tonight should be about 58 degrees, and tomorrow's high around 77. We dedicate this evening's music to everyone who wishes to be left with some thoughts of the late Major Richard Ira Bong, or Dick, as we like to call him. Here's Dick Hames and Helen Forrest, and Long Ago and Far Away, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
That all I long
Dick Ames and Helen Forrest. That sweet duet with Long Ago and Far Away on station KUWS. Men are wanted at South Superior's newly modern equipped factory. Laborers and assemblers are wanted now for this essential war work. 50 hours a week with good pay at Silvercrest Industries. Workers will be trained. Apply in person at Silvercrest Industries, 58th and Butler Avenue in South Superior. Harriet is in next, followed by sports with Rapid Ray. But first, here's the Glenn Miller Orchestra, and At Last, a great dance tune on the Martin and McKenna Show. And At Last on station KUWS.
We have some statements by prominent people in our fair county provided to us by the hard work of community editor Harriet Farig. How are you doing, Harriet?
Oh, this is so sad, Lewis. How are you doing? You got to know him over the past couple of years.
You know, it seems like such a waste now that he was home and we thought he was finally safe. Newly married, and now his wife is a widow. All that stuff. It's hard.
Yes. I have to imagine his family, and especially Marge, are all rather numb. Flags are flying at half-staff in Superior as we mourn the death of a beloved hero and native son. Everyone in the community is standing by to offer whatever help they can to the family. Several organizations are planning public tributes. I talked with many people in the community about this. President of the Village of Poplar, Norman LaPole, says the death of Major Bong is such a terrible shock. But as the reality of it sets in, this small village realizes what a great loss his death will mean to Poplar. Mr. W.R. Olson, the manager of Globe Shipbuilding, says the death of a flyer of Major Bong's caliber is a tremendous loss for the nation. He'll be remembered a long time. Superior Federation of Labor President Barney Strong says labor joins with the people of Douglas County in mourning our beloved hero. Quoting him, "Typical of our sons of toil, he chose to serve his country when the chance of escaping alive was almost nil. He will be remembered as one of the most outstanding heroes of this destructive war." Unquote. Police Chief Arthur Buchanan said Superior was very proud of Major Bong. "We were honored to have known him." Superior State Teachers College President Darcy Williams, like everyone else, was stunned by the news. He said his death is a terrible reality of war and that we need to dedicate ourselves to have an enduring peace. Superior School Superintendent Vernon Van Patter said somehow we had come to regard Dick Bong as imperishable. And Concordia Lutheran Pastor Paul Bowe, who officiated at the Bong wedding less than 6 months ago, said Major Bong was a symbol of our young Christian manhood fighting to preserve our nation. His name has been added to the long roll of people who sacrificed all for the things they hold dear. He finished by saying, "May God grant in grace to build the kind of world for which these young men have given so much." Lewis?
This war has been so destructive to so many families, so it's important to remember all the servicemen. Thanks, Harriet.
Rapid Ray is in with the sports next. Now for the late Major Bong, here's Kay Kaiser, and he wears a pair of silver wings on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Say he's just a crazy guy. To me, he means a million other things. For he's the one who taught this happy heart of mine to fly. He wears a pair of silver wings. And though it's pretty tough, the job he does above, I wouldn't have him change it for a king's. An ordinary fellow in the uniform I love, he wears a pair of silver wings. Why, I'm so full of pride when we go walking. Every time he's home on leave, with those wings on his tunic, and me with my heart on my sleeve. But when I'm left alone and we are far apart, I sometimes wonder what tomorrow brings. For I adore that crazy guy who taught my happy heart to wear a pair of silver wings. For I adore that crazy guy who taught my happy heart to wear a pair of silver.
Professor Kay Kaiser and his College of Musical Knowledge with He Wears a Pair of Silver Wings on station KUWS. Well, hiya, Ray. You're looking a bit down in the mouth, too.
Well, it's hard to be my usual cheery self today. I can't help but think if Dick Bong had lived to be 84 instead of 24, he'd be a walking history lesson right up to the turn of the century.
So, what kind of walking lessons do you think we'll be when we're 80, Ray?
I got a feeling we'll be badly attired, rumpled examples of how not to dress. But I doubt that we'll care at that point.
When you're 80, you don't have to impress people anymore.
So that's your excuse. And just a few notes from the Sporting World fans. Led by Rudy York, the first-place Tigers of Detroit beat the Chi Sox of Chi-Town 6-2 today. But don't look now. They didn't gain any ground on the second-place Senators of Washington, as they dropped the second end of a doubleheader, 7-0. Johnny Humphreys pitched the gem in that one for the Sox. Leo DeRocher, Bill Dickey, Charlie Dressen, and Casey Stengel are all being mentioned as replacements for Yankee manager Joe McCarthy. It's said McCarthy has the best managing job in baseball. He gets $35,000 a year to pencil in names like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Jolton Joe DiMaggio over the past 10 years. And Green Bay Packers coach Earl Curley Lambeau has signed Sergeant Johnny Blood to a one-game contract. It's for the All-Star game, August 30th. Sergeant Blood holds the NFL record for most years as an active player with 15. He spent the last 2 years playing for Uncle Sam in the Air Corps in the China-India-Burma Theater. He's on 30 days leave now. And three congressmen want the Baseball World Series to be played in the Pacific for our servicemen. Republican Congressman C.W. Bishop says it would be the smartest thing baseball could do. Secretary of the Navy Forrestal has invited baseball teams to tour the Pacific after the season. And remember, Jake, everyone loves a good sport.
Thanks, buddy. Now our last selection in memory of the late Major Dick Bong. Here's a classic from Eddie Duchin and Stardust on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Eddie Duchin and Stardust on station KUWS.
You know, everyone feels so sad about the death of Major Bong, but he did so many great things and touched so many lives. I think it'd be a good idea to remember that, too.
Oh, man, I'll never forget when he buzzed Tower Avenue when he was home on leave last year.
Yeah, he flew that P-38 sideways and upside down and roared the pants right off the people. Man, that was great.
I remember when he first became an ace. I interviewed his mom. Boy, was she proud, bursting with pride.
Oh, we all were. Imagine, an ace pilot from a Douglas County farm. And then he became the leading ace.
Well, he was leading aces with all the women, too, I can tell you. I still don't know what he had that we don't.
And apparently, you never will.
Oh, he was just a nice guy with a great smile. I'll never forget when he came to the teacher's college homecoming ball. The girls just flocked to him. That's where he met Marge. And then they bumped into each other at Chef's restaurant, and I think they fell in love right then and there over ice cream.
Lou's fallen in love with ice cream many times, especially if it's Neapolitan.
Cute.
I know something that only a few people know about his first leave back in 43. Remember how he was swamped by all those reporters? That really got under his skin.
He was polite and everything, but he liked hanging out with his friends and family without flashbulbs going off.
So here's the big secret. The reporters wanted to tag along on his deer hunting trip. So lo and behold, he bagged the first buck in his hunting party. Photographers got their pictures, and he and his buddies were left alone.
That's the way we all reported it.
Yeah, but you guys were all wrong. He pulled the wool over everyone's eyes. His uncle got the buck. They said Dick got it and got the reporters out of their hair. Trouble is, he didn't get a deer the whole hunting season. His gun sights were crooked.
So the guy who shot down 40 Jap aircraft couldn't bag Bambi?
Ironic, isn't it?
You usually do this, Lewis, but I've got a news flash. The funeral has been set for tomorrow at Concordia Lutheran Church. It'll be a sad homecoming for Marge.
With that, folks, we'll bid adieu. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and so far he has been. For Harriet, Rapid Ray, and Lou, this is Jack McKenna, reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.